Saturday morning huddle continues on Mix 101.7, and some kind of game in Gowrie last night in which East Sac County defeats Southeast Valley in overtime, 34-27, and happy to have Raiders coach Eric McCullough joining us in the huddle. Congratulations on the win, coach. I'm sure this is one you'll remember for a long time to come.
We will, Ryan, and it was a great game and a huge game for our, you know, just our program and our kids, and just how hard they fought. I mean, we were pretty much behind most of the, you know, end of the first half and into the second half to be able to tie that up and to be able to walk away with that win is a huge accomplishment.
It was never more than a one-score difference all the way through. As you alluded to, it was a Southeast Valley 20-13 at halftime. They scored first. Marcus Green had a couple of 7-yard runs for you guys. Had a big punt block by Derek Ashinger to set up your second score. How would you sum up the first two quarters of play?
I think we kind of come out, I think, a little shell-shocked, honestly, Ryan. With that Fisher kid came back. He was on injury that week before, and when they had him and that Johnson kid in the backfield, they were fast backfield kind of duo back there. And I think we were kind of on our heels a little bit and had to take some time to kind of respond a little bit. But once we were able to kind of get in the groove, but then we made some mistakes on offense. We're kind of playing behind the chains a little bit, and that's just not our type of game and put us in some situations we didn't want to be in. But we were able to make plays and just to be able to stay in that position to be able to tie it up and take it into overtime.
Yeah, Fisher had an impressive 41-yard touchdown run in the first half, which tied it at 13. They get a touchdown throw to go up by 7 at the break, and credit to your guys, you threw an interception on the first series of the second half, but they wind up missing a field goal, and you shove it right down their throats from there to tie it up at 20.
Yeah, you come out after halftime, you hope to put that drive together, and then that third play, you end up having kind of a mishap and throw that interception, and our defense just finally stepped up and put them in that field goal position, and then they pulled it to the right, I guess, and we did. We put a nice drive together there. I remember it was like a 13 or 14 play drive, where we just kind of made first down after first down, getting down there and be able to punch that in. I think that was a huge turning point for our kids to be able to put that offensive series together.
Garrett Bruce, 1-yard run, leveled the score at 20. But then your comment on the fourth and goal from the 5 play became kind of a chess game at that point, with you both calling timeouts as it was before the last play of overtime, which we'll get to momentarily, but they score on that 5-yard pass to retake the lead.
It was, you know, and we had kind of talked, and I think it was just kind of a little bit of miscommunication there, and the receiver made a heck of a play. I mean, the quarterback put the ball where the only place he could catch it, and the receiver caught it to go up, and our kids could have hung their heads there and kind of backed away, but they didn't, Ryan, and they fought back and were able to tie that up before the end of the game.
And so with that fourth and goal from the 5, Southeast Valley goes up 27-20, but then you march it along. Griffin O'Neill, 7 was the lucky number for Marcus Green on the receiving end of a 7-yard pass there to tie it. High snap on a punt for Southeast Valley has set you guys up nicely at the 38-yard line on their end of the field. You get down close inside the 5, go for the short field goal, but didn't work out in your favor, unfortunately, which is one I'm sure you're going to make 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, and that's kind of going back. You know, we had that blocked punt early in the first half, and we had kind of been aggressive and going after all those, and we thought they were in a position that they could possibly fake that. So we back off a little bit, and then the next thing you know, you guys see the snap over top of the punter's head and the ball rolling around the end zone. You think, you know, we should have been aggressive there and went after it, but we didn't. And then, like you said, we drive down, and we do. We go after the field goal. It's just one of those things. I think, like you said, the situation, we kick that field goal, you know, if we're up by 3 with, what, a minute 30 left. So We just pulled off to the right a little bit, and then they run the clock out, and we go into overtime.
All right, so then it gets really fun. Third play of the overtime, you score on a Garrett Bruce 2-yard run, his second of the game, PAT, go up 34-27. You get it to fourth down from the 4. Again, you exchange timeout calls. Tell me the strategy and what was discussed, and they had shown that wacky spread formation before you called the timeout. So what were you looking for coming back onto the field before that fourth down play unfolded?
Well, and I'll tell you, Ryan, the over the years that we played Southeast Valley, and the Coach Sweeter there does, he has these formations of the swing and gate formation. They used to do it after every touchdown, and then you just so many options there that you can that ball can go, and we had practiced it against it several times this last week in kind of preparation because we weren't quite sure if they weren't going to have that Fisher back. We knew they were going to have to try and do some different formations and try and get us in some tough spots. So we had gone over it, and, you know, they had scored previously on kind of the same formation, and we had talked about it, but we decided we were going to call this timeout and make sure that everybody knows their job, everybody knows their responsibilities. And I think the cornerbacks all down that right side of theirs, and we jammed their receivers. I think that put that quarterback in a tough spot, and they weren't able to get open, and we had just enough pressure that we were able to kind of run him out of bounds there.
Forced him out of bounds on the near sideline at the 1-yard line to preserve the victory. Anybody or anything on the defensive end that you want to comment on?
You know, I think Reed Bondrack had a incredible game of defense. He had 4 solos, 10 assists, mm-hmm. 1 quarterback sack, and then we had 2 tackle for loss. Garrett Bruce had 3 solos and 5 assists, and Sebastian Peck had 10 assists. And, you know, and I think even the guys up front, we had to make huge adjustments, right? You hadn't really kind of see us play, but we've been a 3-4 team the last 3 weeks. And
yeah, you went to 4 down linemen eventually, pretty early in the game.
Yeah, we switched to that 4-4. We hadn't really gone over that for a couple weeks now just because the kids we have and trying to rotate our big guys up front to make sure we keep them rested on both sides of the ball. So that was an adjustment for our kids. And for them to be able to do that, I think we'll, you know, and do their responsibilities and kind of change things from what our practice and game plan was this week says a lot about just their resiliency and their character and be able to just support each other through that to walk away with a big win in overtime.
Big it was. Hats off to you guys. 34-27 in overtime at Southeast Valley. Now 3-0 in your 2A district and home against Shenandoah next week. East Sac coach Eric McCullough, appreciate it. Enjoyed being there last night. Congrats again, and have a good weekend.
You know, thanks to Storm Lake Radio and Ryan for covering that last night. I think the community really appreciated that, and it was a great time last night for the kids and for the community. So thank you, Ryan.
Our pleasure. Eric McCullough joining us in the Saturday morning huddle.